Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for today's show. Right now, I am experiencing a technical issue with my studio. I'm trying to bring that up, so please bear with me. I'm going to try and bring it up through a different device, so I'll be right with you. Okay, folks, please, again, please stay with me. I'm, for some reason, I'm unable to connect to my studio. So let me try just for a few more moments, and we'll get on with today's show.
Hello, Catherine. This is Robert from the radio show.
Yes.
I am having absolute horror here trying to connect to my studio, and it's not allowing me in. It looks like it's my internet connection that keeps going up and down. So I'm going to try just a couple more minutes, and then if not, then maybe we can just reschedule to another day. I am sorry. No, I can't believe it, you know, and just because it's a shadow of Mercury coming up, Mercury retrograde, and I was born under a retrograde, so I thought I had immunity to that. Yeah, that's true. I see you. You know what? I am on there now, and I see you. So we'll give it a try. And it's you're the 802. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And I did have somebody there. Okay. So just one moment, and we'll get started. Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Okay, everybody. So apologies for the delayed start. Today, my very special guest is Catherine Samuelson, and we will be talking about her journey as well as her latest release, Opening the Heart, Meditations on How to Be. Opening the Heart consists of 56 distinctive meditation images, corresponding texts, and exercises to use in combination together as a means to find inner peace and healing that emerges from listening to one's heart. It's a tool for those looking to broaden and deepen their meditative experience. You can find out more by visiting Catherine's website, which is CatherineSamuelson.com, and that's K-A-T-H-R-Y-N. Samuelson, SamuelsonSamuelson.com. And with that, I'd like to welcome Catherine to the show. Good day, Catherine.
Hello, and thanks for having me on the air today, Robert.
It is my pleasure, and apologies for our technical issue, but, you know, I mean, we love it when it works, and we love it less when it doesn't.
And I need to apologize to everybody listening. I do have a mild cold, and I've dosed up, so I'm hoping that I'm not going to end up coughing in their ears or sneezing too much.
I think we're okay. I mean, there's a lot of the country going through that right now. So you're in, I wouldn't say good company. You have a lot of company in that area. So when I first have a guest who's not been on the show before, I usually like to have them kind of give a bit about their journey, you know, and yours from practicing law, you know, to a psychic and life coach has to have been an interesting path. So would you mind sharing just a little bit about that with the listeners?
Well, I ended up being a lawyer because I had a self-designed liberal arts major. And during my junior year of undergraduate school, I figured, oh, dear, I can't make a living with this degree. So I, kind of went through my dad was a doctor, but I wasn't that great at math, so that sort of cut out being following his footsteps, and I sort of did a process of elimination and ended up with law school. And I practiced law for about 27 years. And during that time, I'd always been interested in spiritual things and doing lots of readings, and I started to explore the metaphysical through a means called automatic writing. And at some point, I decided the universe wanted me to move to Massachusetts from Illinois. And during that period, I started working more with the metaphysical, got certified as a life coach because they would tell me, well, you're not from here, when I was looking for a job. Or I wasn't even considered because they wanted somebody with 2 to 5 years of experience in my area, and I had 27. But I had no clients to bring with me to a law firm.
Right.
If, you know, any law firm would want to talk to me. So I said, okay, universe, I guess I'm going to be doing the channeled angel readings and life coaching. And at some point, when I was living in Melrose, Massachusetts, I had a really good massage therapist who was very psychic herself. And I came out one day to pay her, and she said, I think you're supposed to create a set of angel cards. And that started the journey that ended up with being the book instead of a set of cards. Because
wow.
Tried to get a publisher, tried to get an agent, and it's like, okay. And then looking at self-publishing cards, you can't necessarily guarantee that what they call the registration of the front and the back is going to be matching. And then you have to order the cards and put the sets together and do all that, whereas the book is print on demand.
Very practical.
Very short. Yeah. Very, very short version of my life.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, I think that is, at least I've had quite a few guests on my show. There were, you know, that kind of path is. Is being highlighted now, I guess, you know, through books, because it's one of those things where I think, you know, that is what many people out there are looking for, that transition from, you know, something that's not working to, you know, what is, you know, and that can be a very, for some, very scary kind of endeavor, because
right.
It means releasing a lot of stuff.
Right, and that's what I think we as life coaches can help support in that journey, but also the channeled angel readings, because they can help sort of clarify what the universe would like to see you do. And it may not be what you're thinking about, but if you ask, what's my path, what's my life purpose, it's really interesting. Sometimes I've had people suggested they study deep ecology, sustainability, and transition towns. Telling somebody that they didn't even know it, but they were a healer. You know, all sorts of interesting things can come out if you're open enough. I think having a bit of skepticism is good when you come into a channeling training, but being open is also important.
It is. You know, one of the things, I mean, I have found myself guiding, doing all kinds of stuff I never would have thought of, like internet radio, you know, and to be doing it for 8 years, you know, it was just it was not in the 5-year plan, you know, let alone a 10-year plan. So, but You know, but it's just one of those things, though, that, like you say, if you are open to it, to guidance and kind of stepping out, then it can lead to a very interesting journey.
Yes, yes. You know, and when you said 5-year plan, I used to, when I would go for job interviews, you know, even early on, it's like, well, what's your 5-year plan? To continue to grow and educate
mm-hmm.
myself? Which was not the answer they wanted to hear.
I know.
You know.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, that would be a very positive kind of trait for an employee, you know, so, but,
Right. It's like, what do they expect to say, I want your job in 5 years? No.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and from what you're doing now to what you were doing then, you know, again, you know, this is probably wasn't necessarily, you know, in the forefront of your mind that you might be doing, even though you may have been exploring, you know, the metaphysical or the intuitive world. You probably didn't expect to be doing, you know, more of the focus on the angel and angel readings and now opening the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. You know, 20 years ago, I was practicing law, and, you know, that's what I thought my path was because I had chosen it because, as I said, I couldn't make a living with my self-designed liberal arts major. I mean, literally, it was the Southern Illinois University at Carbondale, at least at that time, you could design your own major.
Yeah. So what would you say maybe is, you know, one or two you know, important things that you've learned from this particular journey, you know, from that structured corporate, you know, professional to a professional in a whole different manner?
Oh, golly. That it's important to practice what I call radical ambiguity and radical persistence. That by that I mean is, you know, life is full of ambiguities and, you know, just going with the punches, I suppose, and then just keeping at it, just getting your vision, because we all get a vision, but the universe may want to tweak it, you
mm-hmm.
know, so that it looks a little, you know, it doesn't look exactly like what we think it should look like. And so if you just, okay, this is my vision and I'm going to go for it no matter what. I had a friend early on in the process of bringing the book out into the world. It's like, did I think it was going to ever get published? And he said, yes, of course. And I thought, if I don't think it's going to get published, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just had to be persistent. And eventually led to, you know, doing the self-publishing route.
Right. Yeah, well, I took that route myself. So, you know, and it's, to me, the whole idea of creating a project like that and getting it out is the idea of the journey of creating and sharing, you know, what it is that you're doing. And,
mm-hmm.
and so I completely understand that route. And you know, and also the, you know, the comment about the friend, do you think it would be published? It's, to me, it's, I'm always amazed by people who judge about getting a book published when they themselves, you know, have never tried or wouldn't even try or just don't have a clue as to what's
mm-hmm.
involved. It's quite a process.
Right. And actually, on my website, on the book tab, if you click on the book tab and then on the left side, you'll see it says Adventures in Self-Publishing, or is it Adventures in Public? I put up my book talk. And then also another page is some resources for looking at publishing and self-publishing. So if anybody who's listening is interested, it's my book talk about how I went from looking for a traditional publisher to self-publishing and some of the things I learned
mm-hmm.
along the way. You know, so people should feel free to go look at that because
yeah.
I put it up there so people could have some idea where they're headed.
Yeah, exactly, and to to not be stopped or kind of give up on a particular project just because they may not see exactly the path that it's going to take, you know. So that's the fun. That's part of the fun.
There's cheaper ways to publish. You can publish on something called Smashwords. If you don't care if it's only ever an e-book, but you've seen the book now, Robert. I don't, you know, I suppose on a Kindle or something it's lovely, but I'm an old-fashioned. I want to hold the book in my hands.
Yeah.
I don't even own a Kindle.
Yeah. You know, I think it's personal preference, but with yours in particular, I think holding it is good and having the images right there because they're vibrant images. So, I mean, and they can be on the computer, but it's, I don't know, there's something about the printed page.
But on the other hand, I didn't want to, you know, narrow the audience, and there is an e-book version.
Right.
It was silly not to,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. So now, how would the person, the meditator, the reader of the book, how what's the best way to use that for
it
practice?
Is so individualized that I think I'd rather talk about different ways to use it. You could actually image by image, and you could do one at a time. And if you wanted to do one at a time as a because they're paired, and my book designer and I called it, you know, the seeming dualities. For example, the first one is breathe deeply, breathe slowly. You can breathe through anything. And the second one, you know, its pair is action is the counterpress is the counterpart to breath, be in the world. So you could work with one of those or both of those. And if you wanted to work with just one of them, you could put a piece of paper over it because they're facing each other. The second part of the book is some expanded text for that book, for that those images. And the third part is some exercises. So you could just work your way through the book if you want. You could flip the book open with your eyes closed and say right or left and work with that image. Or you could, you know, then go to the exercises. So it's really, I think, quite flexible in how you use it.
Okay, yeah. And, yeah, I can see where that would be the case.
Right. And part of it is, you know, because we all think that life is so black and white, but it's sometimes both of something, you know.
Yeah.
One of them is nature, the other pair is nurture. Isn't it both?
Exactly, because it is, really. But it was interesting. I can't remember what it was, but I used that very nature-nurture question earlier today for some reason. But anyway, it seems to be out there. But, you know, it's when using your book, you know, and the exercises. Okay, let's go to the exercises for a bit because that's one of the things that I think that, you know, helps distinguish a book, taking the what is learned and applying it. So can you give us an example or two of exercises in the book that would help the reader?
Well, one is, I want to look it up, cause, and some of these, most of them I've actually done myself, or they've come to me in meditation, but let's see. So one is called My Heart Story. And so you pick an image and go into meditation, and using the chosen image and text as an opening into your heart, ask your heart what its story is, and then you write your story down. And you can choose to journal about it. And many of them also talk about, you know, drawing them. You take some crayons or whatever you want to do. This one was really interesting to me. It's I am of value, and it's got a specific image that it wants you to contemplate, and it's number 51, which is you are the beloved. So, you know, you open your inner ear and ask your heart, what is a value about me, or how am I valued? And then you list all the things that your heart tells you. And so you can list them as you receive them, or you can list them after it. And you, of course, can journal, draw, or collage. So that's kind of typical. The most interesting one to me, in a way, is the three questions that is the last of the exercises. And the story about how I came to these, and those are designed to be sort of a check-in over time. You know, you can go back to them and see how you've changed, or what the, you know, your, you know, information that you're being given has changed. I'm a life coach, but I had a life coach, and she was interesting because she had a horse, and we worked with the horse. And one time I'm standing there, and suddenly, I swear this horse would do Reiki on you. And suddenly I was being asked, who am I, where am I, what am I? And I was coming up with answers. So that was put in the book as the last one, as kind of a check-in for you every once in a while. And there are some pages that you can use to journal in the book.
All right. Well, that's, you know, excuse me, that's, again, that for me, that's when the values of the lessons or the information, you know, in the plan. Because to me, it's one of those things that, you know, if I'm going to read something on how to get better at something, you know, some people just aren't naturally creative at turning knowledge into application, you know. So I think, you know, having those questions, those check-ins is a good way for people to have a process to where they can go to do that.
Right. And, well, you know, and if you think about it, life is a process. It's, you know, it's change, it's transformation. And one of the things working with the book, working with the angels and guides, is I am a lot less fearful than I used to be. I'm a lot less, I think insecurity was one of the big lessons I had to learn to live with, you know, learning to practice radical ambiguity and radical persistence. And I do still have little moments, panicky moments every once in a while, but it's far shorter. And I don't fret so much, and I think that's one of the joys of this book. It can help lead you towards that.
Yeah. So, you know, that radical ambiguity, to me, every time you say that, and I think it's just, to me, the idea of that, some people might perceive as chaotic, you know, as a perception, you know, I can understand, you know, ambiguity and allowing for uncertainty. So do you say that practicing or being aware of radical ambiguity is a positive?
Yes, because to me, when you say the radical part of it is that you face the ambiguity, you're not afraid of it, and you move through it. And you understand that ambiguity is part of life. And that, you know, part of life coaching is helping a client figure out, if they don't have a goal, figure out what their goals are, if they have a goal. And then once the goal is in place, helping them figure out how the steps of how to get there, but also understanding that life happens. It might not happen when you think it's going to happen, and it might look a little different than you're hoping it will.
Yeah.
So to me, that's the radical part, that you, it's sort of the radical acceptance of ambiguity. Does that
make
sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does. And, you know, and in today's world, radical is
such a bad word.
Well, I mean, yeah, it can be, but I mean, the idea of being intense is out there. I mean, there's a lot of radical stuff going on. So I would think that would help us recognize it, and maybe even the awareness being able to maybe utilize it, you know, that ambiguity to our betterment.
Yeah, and make it an advantage so that we're not living in fear. You know, because there's so much fear being engendered right now. You know, and I think fear of not having enough, you know, fear of not being loved, fear of, you know, something taking away from you, you know. When, if everybody looked at it as an abundant universe, which it is, think about how much less fearful we would be.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're about halfway through the show, Catherine. I want to take a quick break. And now, are you open to taking one question from a couple callers? I have a couple callers in the queue. And,
sure.
And that you can kind of then show us and the listeners kind of how you work with the angels with questions, okay?
Okay. Sure.
Okay, great. Everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break. Okay, I think we had a little bit of a problem. I'm still having problems with my studio here, folks. But thank you for staying with us again today. My special guest is Catherine Samuelson, and we're talking about her new book, Open Heart, Open Your Heart, Blossom in the World. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is CatherineSamuelson.com, K-A-T-H-R-Y-N Samuelson, S-A-M-U-E-L-S-O-N.com. Okay, so with that, we're back. Catherine?
Okay.
Great. And unfortunately, I lost my studio again. This upcoming Mercury retrograde is going to start kicking me already. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and try and get that up, and as soon as I can get it up, we'll go ahead and take the callers. But one of the things, why don't we go ahead and talk a little bit more about the three distinct areas of that journey, the lawyer, the life coach, the psychic. How do these all, do the areas of in each of those distinct, jobs or careers, how does that all kind of fit together? Like if someone's coming to you for one particular purpose, do the other one or two kick in, that kind of thing?
Sure, excuse me. And, for example, being a lawyer is being a problem solver. So that helps you because being a life coach is a problem solver. You know, you help somebody get to their goal. A lawyer is you learn to question, make, you know, pertinent questions. You learn to listen. And those skills go for both the psychic and the life coach. And occasionally I do stop in a life coaching session and say, let's ask the angels and guides. The angels and guides, I think, because of the life coaching and the lawyer, they give homework. They like you to do X, Y, and Z, you know, to get on your journey. So I'm not so sure that the lines are so distinct. I don't practice law anymore.
Right.
But I think the skills are there. And the writing, constant writing as a lawyer, I think helped in working on the book. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, one of the things that I've noticed is that, you know, on these journeys, when particularly when we have some major forks in the road and kind of lead us in different directions, to me, they always seem to have a building block kind of feel to, you know, to what we're doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think life, if you look at it in that way, you're, you know, everything you do is building towards the next thing, because you gain some skills and they don't go away just because you change what you do.
Yeah,
unfortunately, I sometimes hear myself talking like a lawyer.
Well, that was just good getting your money's worth, being able to use that. Well, I've got my studio back, so let me go ahead and bring in these callers. Hopefully, you'll work all right. So, caller from the 307 area code, can we get your first name and location? Hello.
My name is. Hello.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Hi, my name is
Elizabeth.
Yes, I can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm calling from Wyoming.
Okay. Alyssa from Wyoming. So you have a question for Catherine?
Yeah. I was just wondering if she sees, I have a job interview today, and I was wondering what she sees with that.
Did you already have the job interview, or is it still coming up?
No, I'm going to it here in about a half hour.
There's a lot of good energy around the people at that job. So just relax.
Okay.
There's energy that it's going to be very positive for you.
Okay.
It's not set in stone right now because that's not the way life works according to them. You're good at what you do. You know what you're doing. Should just have the confidence. It's really about your confidence and
okay.
showing them what you can do.
Yeah.
If you manage that, there's a very good chance.
Okay.
It's like 75 to 90% chance.
Okay. Okay.
That's pretty high.
Do the angels, do you have any messages from the angels for me?
Well, it's just going to be one question there, Alyssa. So why don't you go ahead and you know, take that with the job interview. And and then if you want to contact Catherine, her website is in the show page description, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your question.
Okay. Thank you, yeah. And now I think this one might be Bob. Hello? Skype caller?
Silly electronics.
I know. It's just...
I had two Comcast outages this week.
I know. It's just it's strange. And the location I'm using, you know, a regular... hard landline cable kind of thing with it, but I logged in earlier today. I did my little test. Make sure. But anyway, we do have another caller there. Yeah, I know exactly. No, we do have another caller, and if his microphone should come on, then we'll go ahead and take that. Anyway, it's buffering. So anyway, now as far as
in the meantime,
let me think. Yes, I can. There's an idea that's been on the back burner of a kind of a sci-fi type of novel.
They just said before you
finish,
they said they like it a lot.
Okay, perfect.
They were very enthusiastic about it.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Well, you know, what's interesting is, in just a little teeny bit of a teaser, it'll be one of those that kind of defies some teachings in metaphysics as to, you know, what really happens and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's kind of throwing a little bit of a you know, fly in the ointment. So
I look forward to reading it.
It should be interesting. So now, when someone comes to you for your services, how does that all work? I mean, you know, is it usually through the works that you've done that they contact you?
It's
how does all that happen?
The, you know, it's word of mouth. It's they find my website. You know, so it varies. I still do some events. There's a group in the area called Half Moon Sober Festival. They have a big weekend for people recovering alcoholics and maybe drug addicts, I'm not sure, that they have a weekend, so there's no alcohol, no drugs, and they have a bang-up time. And so I do their fundraisers now. And sometimes I get clients that way. But it's different ways.
Now, I have a question regarding, you know, working with angels and guides. For you, how is it different from, you know, the messages that you get from your angels and guides versus someone who has come to you for that service? So how do you distinguish between the two?
Excuse me. I just open myself up to the collective angels and guides, and the messages come through the automatic writing. And as they write, I know what they're saying, and I convey that. Sometimes I have to tell them to slow down because, you know,
yeah,
they are a higher vibration. And sometimes they give me feelings, and I'm like, oh, great, you have to use your words. So I don't really I don't know that I can distinguish it. And
okay.
The interesting thing is I know people who see them. I don't see them. It's all this very verbal. And having been a lawyer, I'm not surprised, you know. For me, it's just mostly verbal.
It took a while before I could distinguish my own monkey chatter and the guides. It can be a challenge sometimes.
Right. Well, I think the one advantage of the automatic writing is that it's a focus. It says I'm open to them at this moment.
Okay.
And when I was starting to learn it and be comfortable with it, I went through this whole process of why me, and to not why not me. But also I would check with them every session. Were any of these answers mine? And sometimes they were. So if you really have a belief system strongly enough, you can affect the information that comes through. So I truly do try to step out of the way, and I will during readings, you know, and I'll even tell a client, I'm checking to make sure this isn't me, because the answer they're getting is sounds so similar to my life. I'm like, okay, you know, is this them or is this, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it would make sense. I mean, from all of the intuitive people that I know, the underlying factor regarding clarity of message has always been the removal of, you know, ego and self from the message, you know, and you know, that's one of the biggest challenges, I think, for people who are opening up to that gift is, you know, trusting in what it is that they hear. And now I'm with you regarding seeing. I've often told my guys that if they, or, you know, angels, if they want to appear in front of me, they're probably going to be seeing me up close, you know, shortly thereafter, you know, to try not to do any of that, you know, visual.
Right. You know, and people do have belief systems. And, for example, there's this belief, and people are taught this, that each of us has one angel. And I'm like, not by my experience, because I just open myself up to what they have to say. I don't think I've ever worked with anybody when they wanted to know who their angels and guides are that has had one angel. No. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the numbers that people have vary. Just, and it's, and as I tell clients, especially if it's like a group, I did a little party for a family here about 15 minutes from me. And I had to say, because we were doing that, I said, you know, people have different numbers, and it is just what it is. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just what it is. You know, and I tell people, as you do more spiritual work, you might attract more angels and guides to you. And by guides, I mean spirit guides, which what I've been told are not people who've passed over and are spirits. They're another metaphysical entity. There's dragons and fairies and gnomes and elves, I mean, land divas and plant spirits. You know, it's a wild, wacky world in the metaphysical world. So it's probably a good thing most people can't see it.
I know, yeah, probably too much for some people to handle. You know, but it's interesting, you know, that there's the that if you're open to it, you know, you can, you know, connect with so many different energies. You know, that and the messages, you know, that you attract, it seems to me that, you know, those in the spirit guide know who to go to get a certain message out.
Right.
You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
Quite often people who are talking a certain message are those who also need to hear, you know, as well as
mm-hmm.
say it for themselves.
But, you know, and for people who are skeptical, my explanation is it's a quantum world. And if you know anything about quantum physics, and everything is connected, and there's twin electrons across the universe, and, you know, and physicists, as I understand, are now thinking that the universe is a grid, you know, and, you know, you see illustrations like on PBS science shows and showing the planets and, you know, sort of bending the grid, you know, and there's the membrane physics and Barbara Brown Taylor. I have to look at her name again. She has a book called Alter in the World and some other books. And she says what she thinks is, she describes it as the luminous web that holds everything together, which kind of to me is the same thing as the grid. And if we're all nodes, you know, on intersection points on the grid, you know, and the energy and the information is just through the quantum grid, and some of us are able to tap into that.
Yeah. I read an article from an Australian scientist who had that grid point in within the grid explanation, and I tried to get her for my show, but I haven't been successful. But it was really interesting, you know, kind of where lines intersect within that grid and the fluidity that can happen within that. I mean, so it really allows for and supports for a lot of explanation for a lot of things that are happening to people.
Mhm. So it's a much, in some ways, it's a simple world out there in the quantum world. In some ways, it's very complex. And they're still trying to figure out how to, they're still looking for the unified field, the unified theory, so that explains how the quantum world and our macro world, what I call the Newtonian physics world, can work side by side. You know, because the macro, the microcosmic is underneath the macrocosmic, and the laws are different. Which is really quite interesting.
Yeah. It's. I don't know if there will ever be one unified theory. I mean, it'll be interesting, you know, to see if there is one.
But they're trying to figure out how do you explain that there's these two different sets of these two different universes, in essence. You know, that what works in what I call the Newtonian universe doesn't work on the quantum universe, and vice versa.
Yeah. See, my theory is that black space or the energy, the dark matter is actually an alternate universe. Yeah, dark matter is actually an alternate universe, kind of backing up right against us, filling in that gap.
Well, I have a theory that there's so much dark energy that someday scientists will figure out how, and I think some scientists are working on it, on how to tap into dark energy and have, you know, this abundant,
free, endless
energy source.
It'd be wonderful. It'd be wonderful. So now, when you are working with clients, what kind of services that do you offer so that they can keep you in mind?
Well, there's the life coaching, which is meant to be somewhat ongoing but not forever relationship. I had a client who I kept making her change her goals. You know, like, if we're going to continue this, because this isn't meant to be long-term, you know. But it's not therapy. It's not legal advice. It's not medical advice. But I can support somebody in those journeys. Then there's the channeled angel readings, which are meant to be a little more, not one-offs, but here and there. And I don't want people to become dependent on me to make the decisions from the channeled angel readings. The channeled angel readings are meant to be guidance. And their advice is based on what they think is energetically best for you. I mean, some people, you know, it's as simple as, I want to move. Should I move here or should I move there? And, you know, they don't give a definitive yes or no, which I had somebody recently, he wanted actual predictions. Oh, I don't do that. So they will say, this one's energetically okay, but this one's energetically better for you.
Right.
And it could be in terms of jobs. And they will, and I will tell people, I am not a doctor, so whatever that comes through in terms of if you've got health questions, you should check this out. And it can be something as simple as they would like you to get some of these certain blood tests. They're not saying anything's terrible and awful or wrong. It just maybe you need a baseline. So, and I would encourage people to get the test to verify things, because I'm not a doctor.
Yes. Yes. That's very important. Okay.
So it's
Well, you know, it sounds like that you're really focused on just empowering the individual. Let me kind of walk you through one example. So that, you know, when you come through this again, you don't need me. You can just follow the what you did in the past.
Right. And one of the things that I work on a lot as a life coach is changing the language of our stories. Because, you know, we all, you know, many of us grew up going, oh, God, I'm stupid. I did that stupidly. I'm not good at that. I'm not, you know. And if we can change the language we use about ourselves, we can change our story. Does that make sense to you, Robert?
Yeah, well, it does. It does. And, you know, and some of those stories, you know, have a lot of chapters behind them. So, you know, kind of changing the direction can be sometimes akin to turning a huge ship around, you know, on a dime. It's difficult
to
do.
One of the pairs in the book, and I still have, after all this time, not memorized the numbers, but one of them, and it kind of goes to that, is, is accept that you were called to offer your best, and the other one is accept that sometimes you will fail. And another pair is, at this moment, in the eyes of the universe, you are perfect for who you are. But its pair is, do not, you know, stand still, grow, change.
Yeah, some would call that a little paradigm, or what's the word? You know, a little
paradox.
Mind bender. Paradox, thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, paradox, you know, and that you, by doing one, you automatically go against what the other one is. But I mean, those are great examples of the duality the parent duality of life, but mm-hmm. it's all the same. It's how we perceive it and how we react to those perceptions, but basically it's all the same.
Right. And Linda and I started, my book designer and I started talking about the seeming dualities, you know, of these. And part of the book is to help you contemplate and meditate on how to navigate between dualities. And, you know, mm-hmm. that it's okay that there's dualities, because that's life.
Yeah. Well, what it does is it allows us to first recognize that, you know, that if we're in a bad state or a state that has us anxious, you know, that there is also another state, you know, where we're not, that we're calm and peaceful mm-hmm. and, you know, and that we can, you know, choose one over the other, you know, if we kind of just put our mind
mm-hmm.
to it.
And I think that's what I was talking about before, that by working with the book in particular, because it was a process, because it started out as a set of cards and then couldn't get a publisher,
mm-hmm.
couldn't get an agent, you know, found an agent who does work, will, for a fee, look at your proposal summary and your query letter. And I went, okay. And
yeah.
Even looked at self-publishing them as cards, and because of the publication issues, I went back to Linda and hired her to put it all together in a book.
That's the most convenient way to get the message out, you know, and the least cumbersome.
Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily cheap. Doing self-publishing, but if you really want your book out there, you'll find a way. And again, people should feel free to go to my website and look for the information on the book page. And there's also on the sidebar a link to my blog called Musings, Poetry,
yep.
and Such.
Yep, and everybody can they can find out so much by your website. Also, you have your tab there for events and schedules. So and also more
mm-hmm.
detail again about the services you offer. So well, Catherine, I really want to thank you for your time today in talking about opening the heart, meditations on how to be. So thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Robert. This has been lovely. Thank you.
My pleasure. Again, everyone, my special guest has been Catherine Samuelson. We've been talking about opening the heart, meditations on how to be. Again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is CatherineSamuelson.com. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show, and until we meet again. Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me, that's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.